Let us pray. Gracious Lord Jesus, with a word, you cast out demons. By your word, you cause the lame to walk, the blind to see, you even raise the dead to life. Send forth now your word and spirit to us, that the tumult and evil in our hearts would be cast out. Raise us to new life by your spirit, that we may see your mercy and grace and know that even now you live and rule and reign over all things for our good as beloved children of God. Lead us to walk in your will and your ways here and now and to remain on the path of faith in order that we would be received by you into eternity. This we ask you, our Lord, our Savior, and our King, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours this day from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is our gospel text, specifically the words of the crowd who said, "What a word this is! For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus. Amen." "What a word this is," declared the crowd. They were amazed, and they wondered. What a word. All were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. And now that word is preached and proclaimed throughout the world through the Holy Christian Church on earth. It is repeated. It is spoken by Christians in their daily lives. It is read and believed by countless millions throughout the world. What a word. It is this word that captivated Mary as she sat at the feet of Jesus. Even as Martha was out there frazzled by everything in the world, there sat Mary at Jesus' feet, listening to his word, calm, serene, comforted by the very word which proceeded from the mouth of Jesus. And then when Martha demanded that Jesus tell Mary to stop listening to the word, to get all frazzled like she was, to fret about everything that needed to be done, Jesus commended Mary. He subtly rebuked Martha. "Mary has chosen the better part. It shall not be taken from her." This word caused blind eyes to see, deaf ears to hear. This word caused Lazarus to come forth from the grave. It raised the son of the widow of Nain. It caused life to return to the body of Jairus' daughter. This word caused a quadriplegic to rise, take up his mat, and go home. It is a powerful and active word, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing joints and marrow, and discerning the intentions of our hearts. This is the power and authority of the word of Jesus. And if this word has such power and authority, it is without a doubt that the one who speaks this word must have more power and authority. It is the very word of the Son of God, the one who came into our world in human flesh to reveal to us heavenly realities. By his own hands the heavens were made, the earth was formed, and everything that has come to be, everything you see. And it is to him that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is indeed Lord over all. So every president, every congressman, every governor of every state, every state legislator, every judge, every federal and state worker, every business owner, every manager, every employee, from Elon Musk to the janitor who mops the dirt that he brings in on his feet. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord over all. And at this very moment, this Jesus, the Lord of the universe, sits at the right hand of God the Father, ruling and reigning over all things, in order to bring all things in subjection to himself. So do not fear. Do not be afraid. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and revealed his glory. And then he sent forth a word to reach our ears, to gather us to himself within the Holy Christian Church, where he promises he will guard and protect us, he will keep us in the faith, until either he calls us to heaven to await his returning glory, or until we see him with our eyes when he returns with all his saints to make new all things, to establish a new heavens and a new earth. This is the whole goal and purpose of Jesus sending forth his word into the world. This is the whole authority that he possesses with his Father on high and has always possessed, so that as his word goes forth, it accomplishes that for which he has sent it. And by his word, he rules, he reigns, he exercises his authority, as we see in our text, even over unclean spirits, so that they must obey him. So why do you fret? Why do you worry? Why do you spend your time concerned about national and international affairs over which you have no control? Is Jesus not on the throne? Are you worried about food and drink, clothing and shoes, house and home, land, animals, anything else? Then pray. Pray to the one who actually has power and authority over these things. Make your worries and concerns known to him. And then trust him to carry forward what is best for you through it all. And then turn off the TV, silence the radio, and listen to his word, by which he comes and speaks to you as a child of God, a citizen and heir of the kingdom of heaven. For it is through his word that Jesus exercises in his authority on earth. It is the very instrument by which he plans, by which his plans and purposes are all accomplished. Through the word spoken at creation in the beginning, he is the one who ordered and structured all things, giving to mankind a reasonable and rational soul, declaring to man from every corner of creation that we are all accountable to something larger than ourselves, something more powerful than a human will, something greater than human striving. We are accountable to an almighty creator who rules and reigns over all things. The very God of the universe who sets up governments, establishes kings, sets rulers in their place, and then tears them down. The one who sets the borders for the nations, and then at his own will reconfigures them. The one who punishes wickedness and evil through the use of the sword, and then rewards good through the outworking of his purposes. Now, of course, since the fall into sin, these things are all corrupted. Those who occupy offices of authority refuse to listen to the word of God. They refuse to act justly. They refuse to carry forward his purposes as he has revealed them. In the corruption of their heart, in their hubris and their arrogance, all human authorities exceed their office, so that God must use other more powerful human authorities to put them back into their place, and then to punish them and reprimand them for their evil. What we are seeing now, what we have seen over the decades, as power switches from one party to another, from one president to another, from one regime to another, is just this. God working out through history, according to his own might and his own power, those things that are necessary to keep and preserve the world for the sake of the church. He sends forth his word, and he raises up one ruler and deposes another. He sends forth his decree, and a nation goes to war with another nation. He issues his proclamation, and wars cease. Bows are beaten into plowshares. The course of human history and the ruling of nations and peoples has always been a battleground, most often bloody, with chaos and turmoil and tumult. Understanding the days in which we live does not require attention to every detail of global events. Watching those things that we cannot change only creates anxiety and only creates a false sense of control, leading us to believe that somehow we can predict the outcome, or worse, we believe that we can influence it based on mere observation. The ability for us to watch events as they unfold in real time, rather than reading about them after years pass and we read the history books, has not helped us. It has harmed us. It gives us a false sense of control, as though knowing the events allows us to change their outcome. This is simply human hubris. It is our own arrogance. It is our own rejection of the truth that Jesus is on the throne, and he is king and ruler over all of human history. Now, certainly, we should lament the suffering caused by our leaders' sins, and we should use our resources to help those who suffer near us. Even more, we should be humbled and brought low when we recognize the evil of our days and understand that the evil in men's hearts is because they are ruled and reigned by the devil. They are not yet converted to Christ. That's really what leads to this misery and sorrow and suffering we see around us. But unless we're in an office that gives us authority to change policies and actions to actually impact the course of events, it's useless to waste time worrying about those events or even watching the action take place. So to watch the latest news and events is itself pointless, unless it can lead to real, tangible action in your own life that will mitigate the suffering of someone within your reach. This world's prince, the devil, loves to distract us from the good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. And one of the devil's greatest tools, especially in the last 50 years, is the distraction, the fear, and the paralysis that his puppets on the blinky box or his mouthpieces on the radio can instill in the hearts of Christians. Unless the news or information you receive can be turned into tangible activity to make a difference in the life of a person with whom you can directly communicate in some way, it is a pointless waste of time. That's why, in large part, in all of our services, we pray. We pray for the president and Congress and all authority, because we can do very little to affect their decisions, but God rules and reigns over them. They are his servants, whom he puts into office to punish wickedness and to do good. When they fail, they will answer to him for their failures. He has the power and the ability to depose them, to replace them. When it is needful, he will send forth his word to tear them from their throne or depose them by ending their earthly life. It is all in his hands. In the midst of our daily life, we live merely as sojourners and pilgrims in this world. The world itself is so corrupted and tainted by sin that God has already decreed its utter destruction, some of which we will witness around us as we journey through it in our lifetime. But in the midst of this journey, you and I have already heard another word from God, one that calls us and gathers us into a different kingdom, the kingdom that is itself ruled and reigned over by Christ himself, directly through his word. And in this kingdom, he promises every help, every needful thing, so that we may walk through this valley of sorrows on the path which leads to a new reality, a heavens and an earth restored, made new, free from the trouble and chaos and struggle that has been brought into the world by sin. Just before Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, our Lord and King decreed that this word ought to be preached and proclaimed throughout the world, that the word of the gospel should be attached to the water as people are brought out of this world around us into the kingdom of grace, being baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And by this same word, Jesus comes to dwell in our hearts by faith, so that his Spirit would rule our minds and transform us, so that we do not follow the pattern of this world, so that we don't feel the need to worry about the things that are going on, but rather we would set our mind on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father, above all principalities and powers, all governments and rulers, all might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world to come, is under his as well. The Father has put all things under the feet of Christ, and the Father has given Jesus Christ to the church as head over all things. And the church is itself the body of Christ. So by his word, he called you from death, from sin, from alienation against God to a new life. Now he attaches that word to the bread and wine to feed you and keep you and sustain you in the faith, so that you may see and dwell in his kingdom for all eternity. So know this: Christ stands over all things spiritual and over all things in this world. He rules and reigns over it all for the sake of his precious believers. For we are his body, his workmanship. He promises that not even the gates of hell shall prevail. So what we are seeing in the world around us now, what we will continue to see in the world until Jesus comes again in clouds of glory, is this process by which Christ Jesus puts to open shame the devil, the rulers, and the principalities of this world, showing that they have no real power, no real authority over anything, that it is God who is ruling and reigning over all things. What we are seeing unfold before our eyes is the ruler of this world being cast out as all things are brought into subjection to Christ himself. So if you wish to have peace and comfort in this world, give ear to the words of Jesus. He tells us, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The worldly speakers who speak into your ears are corrupt and deceived by the devil, and want to tell you to fear and be anxious. They tell you that everything's going wrong. Everything is upset. All the things at the present moment should have your attention. They do it only because it will paralyze you and keep you ineffective at accomplishing the plans and purposes of God in your own place in this world, wherever you are, among the people you actually interact with. The TV, the radio, all of it wants you to shut your eyes to the help and hope that you can bring to your neighbor, especially by speaking the word of Jesus to them. And they want you to pay attention to what's happening far away in a place you can do nothing about. So shut your ears to their vicious deceptions. Close your eyes to their manipulative images. Put far away from you the temptation to care about anyone and everyone except those whom the Lord has placed in front of you. And instead, listen to Jesus. Spend time reading the scriptures. Open up the Psalms. Take comfort from words like these. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Or recall the words of Psalm 46. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Or read Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. He watches over the strangers, relieves the suffering of the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. Notice how these words from the psalm provide context for our world as we live in it. The Lord watches over strangers, relieves the fatherless and the widow, but the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. All of those Chicken Littles you listen to running around don't have this hope and comfort. Those who are anxious and worried and trying to so hard to make you anxious and worried are the very ones the psalmist is talking about. They're the wicked whose world is turned upside down. If the Lord of hosts is with us, then there is no doubt we shall be victorious. If God is our refuge and strength, our present help in times of trouble, then we have no reason to fear now, any more than we had reason to fear in the previous administration, or the one before that, or the one before that. Even if the earth gives way, even if the mountains are thrown into the heart of the sea, even if the waters roar and foam and mountains tremble at the swelling seas, we have been dipped in that river whose streams make glad the city of God. We have been washed and made clean and brought to the other side. so that on the day of Christ's return, we will dwell in the holy habitation of the Most High. And even now, God is in our midst by his word and spirit. He's our anchor and our shield. And by his grace, we shall not be moved. God, the psalmist says, will help us when morning dawns. So let the nations rage. Let the kingdoms totter. Let the Lord utter his voice. Let the earth melt. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And his name is Jesus. He sent his word forth to you to tell you you belong to him. And though the world may be destined for destruction, you have been rescued and redeemed by his blood, and he shall bring you safely through. So turn off the news, turn off the current events, pick up your Bible, and see how God has worked through a chaotic and troubled history of all of mankind. And in the midst of it all, he has kept a remnant, preserving faithful believers. Read the Psalms and find those that echo your feelings and thinking and pray them out loud. Seek wisdom from Solomon in the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes. And then look to Jesus in the Gospels and take comfort from the preaching of the apostles so that you may have courage to face these days with confidence, in hope, and ready to live and act as children of God in the midst of a sin-filled and chaotic world. But let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Christ Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you, and by his word he will call you forth and receive you to be where he is. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. The words he speaks are not by his own authority, but the Father has spoken them, so that you would be brought to him in trust, in mercy, and in grace. And with your sins forgiven, you would be made to dwell with him forever. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.